Hello there, fantastic people. Thank you for joining us again on another fantastic episode at the Fontaka Junction. Real talk. And as usual, I've got my co-host and Big Don, the white chest, Reshe with me in the building. Reshe, what's going on, bro?
Yeah, I'm good. What's popping?
Big things popping.
Yeah, did you see
all around?
Did you see our review? We're doing well.
Yeah. And I mean, first things first, it's all thanks to our lovely listeners who tune in week in, week out, you know, listen to our episode, drop me your comments on Spotify, and on Twitter and other platforms. You want to give us good news, Resh?
Yeah, I mean, it was just something that was found out, you know, and, we're among the 50, I mean, current affairs, you know, podcasters. We are up there, trying. You know,
I don't understand. Are you trying to be humble or doesn't suit you?
as much as we can. Yeah. So I mean, it's good. Like you said, thanks to the listeners and thanks to the to the guys that felt, you know, we deserve that. You know, we've been having a lot of feedbacks. You know, and, it's encouraging to know that guys are listening and just doing our
work. Yeah, it's just painting black and blue or black and white, because Resh is being humble right now. There was a ranking of the top 50 current affairs podcast globally by Feedpost, and yours truly, the Fontaka Junction, featured somewhere among the top 10 out of the top 50, and essentially a list that profiles some of the best podcast to tune into if you want to catch up on current affairs and social, political and entertainment gist and insights, right? So
yeah.
If you've been listening to us, you know, you're in the right place every week. Sometimes, you know, people are very busy with work, with trying to get by and by, and a lot of things happen around the world slip by or slip past you, right? And that's what we're here for, right? We want to be the junction where you can tune into and plug into every once in a week to catch up on what's happening all around the world.
Yeah, maybe if they want to listen to, I mean,
unbiased gist.
Yeah, my very sincere. I know some people don't really think that it's sincere. Some people that is opposite me now, they don't think it's sincere. But I mean, I'll give it. You know, like I think it is, and then we'll go from there.
They've not yet threw bucket on your head yet. That's why. But it's fine. I'm very sure that when they catch you in real life, you will collect one or two stones.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what it is, right? Let's get right into it, because no time to count time.
Interesting. Let me just chip this in. Interesting that I heard that La Cepa. I heard that they went to close. What is the name of the club again?
Silk
Club.
Ah, yeah.
That was yesterday. They went to close. Can you see that they are really working? They are really effective working. They said they were making noise. Silk Club. The last I heard was what's it called? Was this one along what's it called?
Quilox.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the last that I heard that they closed.
Okay.
They are very effective, and that was like a year or 2 years ago. They've been very effective shutting down noise.
Resh, what's your problem? You don't like the fact that they want to close the club down? What? What was your reason for shutting down the club?
I don't know.
It was noise pollution, right?
Yeah, they said it's noise pollution.
That's a good thing. If your club is making noise, especially if you're like a residential area, and you know you're causing a lot of racket.
Yeah,
it's a good thing to be able to call.
What's
last episode?
Yeah, it's
Lagos State Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah,
blah blah blah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to call them and have them swoop in.
Yeah.
My question is, I don't know if you're on the mainland, are they going to answer you? Because now for island, they always respond quickly.
They are just. I've never seen a parasitical. Is it parasitical now? Like a government
agency. Yeah,
I've never seen a government agency that is so moribund and so useless, you know, to the concerns of the people. You know, Lagos is the most noise polluted, you know, I mean, state. I can say I know the Lagos stands, if not the one with the highest noise pollution, you know, in the world. Lagos stands, you know, I'm sure Lagos ranks among the top three or top four.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous that the only place that these La Sepa guys, the only place that they know how to go to is Victoria Island and Lekki. I mean, it shows how ridiculous these guys can be, you know. And like we keep saying it, you know, until we, all of us, we get our acts together, you know. I mean, we just keep...
So are you saying they're biased?
I mean, I'm not even just saying that they're biased. It is that they are not working. And that's typical of... It's just like what happened to the Umahi guy, you know, that we talked about last week and all. It is just typical of this government, you know, public sector service, I mean, agency in the government and all. They are so incompetent, you know, and they just live fat, you know, on the money. And because, of course, when they know that they can't be sacked, you know, and that also adds to it, really, you know, and it's quite sad, really.
Yeah,
quite
well, sad. I think my only word of admonition to La Sepa and all the relevant agencies that are tasked with responsibility of keeping the peace in Lagos State is, you know, do your job without any fear or favor. It doesn't have to be any big man in Ikoyi that calls you before you respond. The average Nigerian is just, you know, deserving of you know, consideration.
Typical
when you have a complaint that's been put out.
Typical Lagos.
Noise pollution, whatever it is,
in you should respond. It is in a street, in a typical street in Lagos, you are more likely to see two mosques and two churches
in the residential
street, area.
Yeah,
bombarding and it feels like maybe they plan it. They say you do 10 o'clock, me I'll do 12 o'clock. You can do this thing
all so day round.
You don't have peace all day, you know. And I'm like, seriously, really? And for us, this religious, and we are this backward, you know. It shows the level of our, you know, hypocrisy, you know, in that sense, really.
Because, yeah, I can't even start with that one, to be honest.
That's a serious
Nigerian thing. But let's jump right into it, right? The big news coming out from the global scene, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has taken a whole new turn. Just yesterday, the Hamas, or did I get it right? Yeah. The Hamas group, which is largely a militant group in situated in the Gaza Strip in Palestine, areas that have typically invaded southern Israel. Just yesterday, on the 7th of October, we started to receive truly remarkable clips and news of an incursion in southern Israel by the Hamas terrorist group or militant group. They've killed captured hundreds of Israelis, and launched over 5,000 rockets into Israel. In response to that, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has also declared a state of war against Palestine, and they've also reciprocated by firing over 2,000 rockets in Palestine. And we're hearing that over 200 people have also been killed in Palestine. And this is just very... And at this point now, we are seeing different countries come out and declare solidarity for one part of the... You know, Iran is obviously supporting Palestine in this struggle. We have France and the UK back in Israel. And this has been a long, drawn-out, you know, conflict between these two countries or two regions for over 5 decades. Mm-hmm. It just seems like every now and then, tempers will just boil over, and then a full-on conflict, you know, emerges. At what point can we find true lasting peace for this situation? Because at the end of the day, it's the civilians that are suffering. I saw videos of civilians getting shot point blank, you know, people that have no business with whatever this battle for territory is all about, as in they're getting killed, getting kidnapped, right, getting abducted, taking hundreds of miles to the other side of the country. And it's like, this is highly unfortunate.
Yeah, it's quite sad, really. looking at all those videos, I was just looking at how inhuman, you know, I mean, we can be as humans, you know. I mean, because of, you know, religious reasons, you know, and man, it was painful to see, really. And I couldn't help but think about my man, you know, when all that stuff was happening. I couldn't help but think about my man.
Who's your man?
Donald J. Trump. I couldn't help but...
How did Donald Trump get into this conversation?
I couldn't help but think about Donald Trump, really, because, like, it's commonplace now. Everybody knows that during Donald Trump's era, I mean, that was the most peaceful in recent memory, you know? And everybody kind of counted, you know, their teeth with their tongue, you know, because they know that, this guy is a madman. That's what they think, you know. And ever since Biden came into office, we've seen countless government toppled in Africa. We've seen Afghanistan, ridiculous pullouts that killed a lot of a number of American soldiers and all. We've seen Ukraine war, Ukraine Russia war. We've seen a lot of stuff.
Let me stop you there. You think it's a bit convenient to pin all of these things on Biden?
Okay.
I mean, how convenient is it? Say, is America or is Biden the reason why in Congo they are fighting Tutanil to today? Is Biden the reason why Niger and Mali and Burkina Faso have all had military coup? Is Biden the reason why Russia and Ukraine eventually topple into war? Is Biden the reason why Afghanistan? Okay, you can kind of blame Biden for Afghanistan, and I don't think they did anything wrong, right? They've occupied the land, or the American occupation in Afghanistan lasted quite a while, and it was time to go. Maybe you can say the pulling out was a bit too abrupt and not well implemented, but that's the only thing for me when I look at the global conflict that's happened in the last 12 months or 24 months rather. I can pin on Biden, but blaming Ukraine or Israeli Palestine conflict or what's happening in Africa on Biden, that's a bit far-fetched for me, don't you
think?
Yeah,
because the reason why I'm going that route is because US has always had their hand in almost anything that happens across the world, especially when it comes to global diplomacy and politics. US has always had a hand in everything, you know. And then when it comes to all these foreign aid assistance and military mites and stuff like that, there is no way it will not connect to the US, you know, and all. And just last month, yeah, Biden gave Iran $6 billion, you know. And what has always happened during those periods where Iran gets money to spare and all, what they always do with it is they buy weapons, you know, and they go and they start to
why did Biden give Iran $6 billion?
Yeah, it was to free some, I think it was in a way, like aid and also compensation, maybe for what they probably say, maybe something has happened, you know, in time past and all, and then to free some American soldiers, American
hostages,
yeah, hostages and all, to free them and all. They got $6 billion dollars. And Israeli intelligence has also said that the Afghanistan weapons that America left behind and all has been found, you know, in this conflict that they are having with Hamas and all. As a matter of fact, the Taliban have also called Hamas group that they don't mind crossing over to join and all and everything. Yeah, so it takes, when you are playing the big brother, you have to be seen as unbiased. You have to be seen as somebody that is, you know, and also you remove yourself from everybody's business, you know, let them handle themselves, you know, maturely and all and everything, you know. But once it seems like you are playing favorite team on, I mean, a particular side, that's what happens. And that's what emboldens these guys to go out and become nuisance, you know, and all. Not, I mean, completely absolving Israel, you know, in some ways, you know, and all. But that type of barbaric, you know, attack, I think that's kind of extreme. I mean, and we know that Israel is more than capable of you know, retaliating and all. It's just sad that most times it is the civilian casualties that are more in all these things. I wish they could just, I mean, there was a way that the ones that really, really are meaning to fight, you know, they could actually face, you know, the Israeli army, let them go head to head and all. But they rather, I mean, go after innocent people, people that are harmless, people that don't have anything to defend themselves and all, and then they do whatever they want to do and all. So
yeah, I mean, highly unfortunate. But you know, because I'm more curious to think, to trying to understand the origins of this conflict and what can be done to sort of put a stop to it. Taking the United States out of the equation, right, and thus doing a bit of research into the history of this conflict, I want to be able to say or figure out who is the aggressor in this case and who is the victim. Right now, from what it looks like, it's very easy to paint Yamas group as the aggressor because they are the ones that have launched the offensive first. Mm. But when you do a little bit of reading and some bit of research, you tend to find out that maybe, or just maybe, the Palestinians are the ones who feel like they've been hard done by. Going all the way back to 1947, after the World War and everything had subsided, and colonialism and occupation of different countries by the world powers was a thing, the British appeared to have some form of control over Palestinian land. And there was a United Nations consensus to say, how do we divide those lands to be able to take care of some of the Jews that had been, you know, displaced as a result of the Adolf Hitler whole incident and everything going on in Germany, and then create some other lands to take care of the Arabs, right, which were the original settlers in those lands. And it seems like ever since then, when the Israelis or the Jews settled and were officially called Israel by means of that land partitioning, Israel has started or begun their own expedition, you know, extending their territory in those lands and essentially encroaching into Palestinian lands, right? So the major places today that are of serious contention are places like the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip. And today Israel unofficially and officially occupy those lands and lay claim to those territories. But the Palestinians are saying that, you know, you've pushed us in and in and in, and you've encroached into our land, and today Palestinians are seen as second-rate citizens in these places that originally should belong to them. And it looks like ever since then, it's been a battle to reclaim what they believe are their land, right? There was some peace talk in the 90s that was held to try to resolve, not even the 90s, as early as 2014, where it was held to resolve the conflict and reach a resolution, but that broke down. And today, we're seeing another situation where the Hamas group, and I'm hearing that the Hezbollah group from Lebanon will be joining. And like you rightly said, the Taliban have also said they will join. Iran is looking from one corner, ready to supply or provide support to this group, even if it be. On the Israel side, like I said, France, the UK, the US seem to be officially supporting Israel's position to occupy those lands and provide them with some form of backing. How close could we be to a potential World War III if all of this isn't, you know, handled quickly? Today is day two of the conflict, and we're hearing reports that Israel is just absolutely decimating certain places in Palestine today with all kind of airstrikes and counter-offensives. And it's a saying that when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers.
Yeah, it has been, what's it called? I mean, it's a matter of who's having the loudest voice, really, you know? I mean, Hamas will claim that, or Palestine will claim that they own the land. Israel will claim that they own the land, you know? And in this case, it is a matter of who's got more might, you know, to retain, I mean, the land, you know, in that sense, you know. And this thing actually, I mean, goes way back Bible days, really. It goes way back Bible days. So it's not something that is just out in the ordinary and all. Yeah, so as far as I know, you know, I mean, the land that Israel occupies in that area, I mean, is smaller than anybody else's musical territory, you know. And they've been so far so good, able to, I mean, have a strong presence, you know, and able to hold their own, you know, when it comes to governance. And though they have some inside politicking that is kind of making them, you know, their defense porous now, and that's part of the reason why this happened, and they couldn't, you know, get the heads up, you know, early enough and all. They've been having a lot of infighting amongst them politically and all, and with all this liberalism and all this, I mean, nonsense that, you know, I mean, everyone is embracing now. It's also part of the reason why, you know, they got caught, you know, I mean, unawares, you know, and all. So for me, it's a question of who's with the bigger voice, who's with a louder voice and all. And I don't believe that the story that the land belongs to Palestine, I don't believe is completely accurate and all. It should be something that everybody can sit down and stop bombing themselves up, you know, and stop instigating any unnecessary fights, you know, that to just escalate and just kill civilian citizens. You saw the Eno girl, is it Eno or Ino or what, this German Israeli, you know, the girl, yeah, that the lady victim that was killed. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, Noah, means it Noah? Yeah. She was killed and then she was put on the truck, and they have their legs on her and they were shouting Allahu Akbar. And I'm like, what type of God is that, really? You know, with all sense of, you know, what's it called, modesty, you know, to everybody. I mean, what type of God, you know, tells you to kill somebody, people like that, you know, I mean, recklessly, without even having regard for them, you know, and all, you know. And for me, I just feel like, you know, I mean, you can't, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, that's extreme, really, you know. I mean, if this God that you're serving is sovereign, you know, let him fight for himself, really, you know, because he's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's everything, you know.
Well, how can God fight for himself? I mean, right now they're not fighting for religion, they're fighting for land.
No, it's religion, it's religion, it's religion,
it's territory.
You know, it's religion.
How?
It's religion, because
this particular conflict is not territory.
No, it's religion.
Okay,
what is it? Okay, there is a mosque and there is a church in Jerusalem, they share the same border and all. They do the mosque and they do the musical, they do the church there and all. That is the dividing line, you know. That is the dividing line where they said they are supposed to be the one praying there, and the other people say they are supposed to be the one praying there and all, you know. So for me, it still comes down, you know, to religion, you know. I mean, they would say it's land or what have you and all, but everything has got to do with religion, really. And I think to a large extent,
you think if they were both Christians, largely Christians, this conflict will not happen.
But Christians, too, they beef themselves. Now Christians, too, do.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand why you think this is a religious.
Kill the person and they are shouting Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar is a sign of, you know, God has given us victory or stuff like that, you know. And I'm asking yourself, why do you think that, I mean, your God, you know, will give you such, you know, I mean, right, to just kill everybody.
No, but chill now, chill now. That's you sounding sanctimonious, kind of, right? Because if you read the Bible and the story of the Israelites and how they occupied lands that belonged to Canaan and
Ahab
and all of that.
That was before.
It was essentially God giving them victory, right? That was before, and they believed that all the victories that they had, even when the odds were against them, was powered by God being with
them. That was before Christ came. Well, after Christ came, he reconciled everybody to himself. And so everybody, you're supposed to see everybody in the light of God, the light of, you know, and all.
When you see that's, everybody, you mean Christians, right?
You said what?
That's Christians. Christians are supposed to see everybody in the light of God. Well, the Muslim has not accepted the story or the
They just say it's not the gospel of Christ to fall under that canopy. No, but they are. But what I'm saying is that the Muhammad, don't forget that I'm from a Muslim family too, so I'm not just kind of painting everything with a broad brush. What I'm saying is that they believe that Isa, Jesus, is a prophet. They believe also that Muhammad is a prophet. They don't believe that Muhammad is the son of God. They believe he's a prophet and all. You get? So they believe that Jesus Christ has the same standing as Muhammad and all. You get? You know? So for me, I don't know about that though. No, they believe. That's what they believe.
That
they believe
Jesus has the same standing as Muhammad.
They believe, no, as in what I'm saying is that they believe in just prophets. Prophets are crossbow, you know, that nobody is a son of God. God is alone.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And the Bible doesn't believe in the God, I mean, the story of Muhammad. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't say anything about Muhammad and all.
Yeah.
You get, you know, but they recognizing that it's also, I'm just saying, like, it should also be a form of recognition, like, okay, these people are still our own as well. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying maybe one is this or one is that.
So there shouldn't really be that kind of enmity.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Really.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I hear you, but I struggle to think that. And I mean, because they are Muslims, and Muslims are trained to believe that every action they take is taken under the unction of, you know, Allah, and they believe that victory is got by Allah, right?
So
they might be making those statements when they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I think this is beyond the religious war. This is actually really a war around territory, around saying this is our land. We have been imposed on our land, and we want to be able to actually do what we want to do in our land, and that's it, right? Today they are fighting a battle of oppression where they think Israel has essentially taken over and they want to be able to take control of their territory. Israel are claiming that is their territory, and whether it's legal or illegal, we don't know, because some world powers are supporting Israel's position, right? So this needs to be handled diplomatically, right? And everyone needs to come to the table. And if another form of sharing of land needs to be done and agreed on, you know, where everybody is fine with what their allotments are, I think that's going to be the best situation for all. Because going to war and fighting, I've never seen that resolve any conflict when it comes to territory and land in the history of mankind.
I think the land actually belongs to Israel based on the 1947 accord. Yeah, I think the land belongs to Israel.
Are you sure?
It's just Palestine that never accepted that treaty.
That arrangement.
Yeah, that treaty.
Okay. Okay.
That's always been the case.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I mean, they should just know that. Of which I'm sure they already know. They already know that Israel has got a lot of allies. Got a lot of allies, you know, and all. Saudi Arabia is also piling up during the Trump era. It's just for them to finalize, you know, their treaty and then move forward and all. I think that's part of the reason why Iran, I mean, is kind of, you know, I mean, pushing for that not to happen, you know, and all. Yeah, so that's the
It. And we over here, we're hoping that conflict is resolved as soon as possible, because, you know, casualties are piling up and, you know, lives are being destroyed, and that's not what we want to see. We don't want to see another Russia and Ukraine situation. Guys, that's as much as we have time for on the junction today. We gotta go.